Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where we are joined by Josh Mahoney, who's a research analyst at IG Group. How are you today, Josh?
Pretty good. New year, new me.
New markets.
New markets.
Obviously, yeah. Much easier to call now this year than last year, aren't they?
Well, I mean, we've only had a few days, but yeah, it's going up generally, which is I guess a good thing for most people. But I think today I wanted to talk about. I mean, I guess whenever it hits the back end of the year, I'm always pushed to do a sort of year ahead kind of outlook thing. And something that I sort of learned from doing my year ahead last year was that generally your year ahead kind of lasts for the first quarter or half of the year. And for the back end of the year, I mean, there's so much that happens within the year. It's very difficult for you to really ascertain exactly what you think. You know, where do you think the FTSE is going to be in the back end of a year? Is a lot more difficult to predict than what's going to happen in the next few months, because that's something that's a little bit more immediate and you have a grasp of, you know, what are the sort of hurdles to get through in that period of time. So my sort of year ahead sort of turned a little bit more into, you know, what do I think is going to happen in maybe the next quarter and the next half a year. So I thought I'd just pick a few things that I think will be driving markets and should be able to maybe give us some decent trading opportunities.
Right, the other problem, just in the first week or two of January, as we saw last year, the market tends to throw one a bit of a googly. So even if the trend is, you know, let's just say a continuation, there's a dip and then there's a rally, or there's a rally and then there's a dip, there tends to be a bit of a shake-up just at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's a liquidity issue or something like that.
Yeah, and also we've got to get used to these googlies, because they seem to come thick and fast, be it markets or be it just crazy announcements that seem to come from left field. And, you know, certainly, you know, last year was the big thing of, like, the big events were happening last year in terms of Brexit, in terms of the US election and stuff. And yes, we're still going to have some big events this year, but I think there's also going to be the fact that both of those events, you know, they were very sudden, but there's huge repercussions that are going to be lasting afterwards. And as we play out throughout those events that have happened last year, we're also going to see some massive volatility still emanating from what's happened last year alongside the different things that happened this year.
So they're
very volatile.
The volatility inducing events rather than just being a source of volatility.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, if you think about, like, what moves markets, okay, people will say big fundamental announcements and things like that, or people will say raising rates and stuff. But on the day when maybe they raise the rates or maybe they introduce QE, yes, they are generally volatile. But if you look at markets in the preceding month or two to that, you'll generally see the markets moving in that direction. So actually, market moving events on a single day will generally be able to provide you with maybe weeks, maybe months of price action in the lead up to that, that you can actually try and get on that kind of trend. So that's kind of the theme that I'll be going with today in terms of things that are going to happen this year, and are we going to see the moves happen ahead of time to be able to give us good trends leading into them?
Right, you brought in some headlines here. What should we particularly focus on here?
So this basically goes through the four charts and some of the different aspects that are relevant to it. Of course, US side of things, and we heard from the FOMC yesterday. And essentially, you know, we've got them saying that they're going to do three rate hikes. I think that's an interesting one, because that means that, you know, because everyone's saying that June's going to be the first one, it means they've got 6 months to do three rate hikes. That seems a pretty fast pace, considering the first 6 months of the year we'll get zero rate hikes. So arguably, you could say they're not going to actually do three. On the flip side, we actually heard from them yesterday where they're saying, well, if we did see fiscal stimulus pushing inflation higher, then actually we could see even more, or them acting at a faster rate. So maybe we might see one in H1. So that's going to spur on this whole US dollar story, this whole carry trade thing, that as rates continue to rise, people are going to be more interested in getting them. Plus, we think the growth is going to be strong in the US, and as such, that should be good for the dollar. So that one's going to be a dollar index. Second part is about sterling. I think this is going to be a really big story, of course, because of the fact that we've got Article 50 in March, and we continue to have, and we've had a couple already this week, big headlines about, you know, jobs moving to Paris, or, you know, ambassador to EU quitting because we haven't got any plan. I just don't see any good news coming out for quite some time. And when we enact Article 50, I don't think that's going to be good for the pound. And I think in this idea of the lead up to these events, I think we're going to see substantial losses for the pound in the lead up to that. Yes,
you think you think capital flight's an issue?
I think that it's not necessary. People are interested in getting into the country on the cheap. That is one argument to be said. You know, at the moment, it's a cheap investment. But at the same time, I just don't necessarily think that this is a story that has any sort of happy ending at the moment, because there's so many big question marks. It might certainly resolve out in the long term, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, that the UK economy is brilliant. And certainly the UK economy is doing quite well in terms of this whole export story. And you've seen it today with the services PMI, same with construction, manufacturing. You know, a weak pound is good for exports and it's good for retaining demand within the country. Yes, but at the same time, I don't think this is necessarily something that people in the markets are going to overlook and just think that, you know, let's start buying into the pound. I do think there's sufficient weakness around what might this mean for our economy in terms of jobs, in terms of growth, for people to not necessarily be too
There's no visibility on what the outcome is going
exactly,
to be.
Exactly, yeah. And the only thing people can see at the moment is negatives.
Okay.
Okay, Eurozone stuff. I guess we've got Dutch, French and German elections. Of course, I've got massive risks associated with that. Much like the EU referendum and the US election, the status quo is the sort of expected outcome, but is that actually going to happen? And this Euroscepticism that seems to be all over the place at the moment, driven by a number of different factors, you know, is not seemingly going away. And as you see continued sort of terrorist attacks throughout Europe, you're likely to see more of that. People have become more isolationists and start asking, you know, is the Schengen agreement good for us? And, you know, is the euro good for us? And should we continue to bail out other countries? You know, these kind of questions that seem to arise at times when it's not necessarily going too well. So, you know, that could drive further euro weakness. And we'll look at that on a longer term. And then we've got OPEC, crude. I guess this is a sort of a pendulum between one side, are we actually going to see these cuts come into play? And if we do, and all of a sudden we start to see inventories drawing down heavily and alike, if that happens, we're likely to see substantial upside in the near term in terms of oil. But you've got the other side of that, which is, well, the US can quite easily ramp up production and swallow up that market share. Then all of a sudden you've got the Saudis, which aren't going to be happy with that. Maybe people wouldn't actually adhere to the cuts, and you'll get oil moving lower. I guess it's just which one comes first ultimately, and it's difficult to say. Rig counts rising, but generally it takes some time for US production to react to prices, so it's going to be a volatile one. But we have seen a breakout in terms of crude, so we'll try and go through some of the charts.
Yeah, we're a bit low on time now, but go through the charts.
So this is dollar index. We've seen this breakout following this sort of 2-year period of consolidation. Yes, we're pulling back so far this month, but it's early doors yet. And I think that now that we've seen this breakout, I do think we're going to see further upside in terms of the dollar in line with this. And that's in line with the idea of what we've been talking about from a fundamental picture. The next chart, I think, should be cable. So this is it on a daily. You can see that we've seen this period of sort of recovery, I guess, or retracement. That's now been negated. The breakdown is firmly established. Yes, over the past, say, week, we've seen a fair bit of choppiness, and it's definitely not doing us any favours, the fact that we're seeing these strong PMI readings coming out of the UK. Every time it's going in my favour and moving lower, all of a sudden another PMI comes out and moves it higher, which we've seen again today. But nevertheless, I do think that we're firmly rooted in a downtrend on the longer term. We're seeing that happen in terms of the medium term, and we're also seeing this idea of, you know, potential weakness from a fundamental standpoint. So I do think that we're going to see further losses, and I do think, you know, Q1 is going to be one for significant losses for the pound, in my opinion.
Okay.
This one is Euro-dollar, so of course this is highly correlated to what's happening in terms of dollar index, because it's heavily weighted for the euro. You can see that it's essentially, again, had a two-year consolidation. We did break lower from that, but it's having a tough time of actually holding on to those losses and really pushing on from there. So, you know, I mean, arguably you'd say the past four weeks actually look fairly bullish in terms of those long lower wicks, but we'll see how it resolves. I still think, and if you look on the shorter term, we're still creating lower highs and lower lows. It's just a case of actually seeing this breakout really come to fruition. So I guess this is an example of maybe you shouldn't necessarily place a trade bang on a breakout, but actually wait for it to, you know, mature a little bit, and then try and take the middle of a trend rather than.
But not as bearish as some people are saying. The parity people are getting a bit burnt at the moment, aren't they?
I do think that we're going to see the break lower, quite honestly. And parity is not necessarily that far away, but it's all about how it responds to that major support level that's essentially underpinned price for the last 2 years. If we manage to break back below there, then I think it should really start to move. But it's been a month now, and it's not really been able to push on from here. So it'll be interesting. I mean, like I said, with that dollar index, we're pulling back to that previous peak, newfound support. Will that provide the emphasis for the dollar to rally, and as such could pull this lower? Well, potentially, but you know, even if we saw a bounce, I would just see that as a selling opportunity personally.
Okay, and the final slide, I believe.
And this is Brent crude. So you've got a somewhat lopsided inverse head and shoulders formation with a couple of shoulders on the right, but the message is still the same, in that you've now got creation of higher lows alongside flatlining highs, and now that we've broken that high, we've now essentially activated that bullish outlook. As long as we don't break back below that $53 mark, then I am bullish, and we're gradually trying to move higher. Again, it's a little bit more of a laboured one. There's an argument on either side from a fundamental standpoint in terms of whether it should go up or down, but you know, that's the nature of a market anyway. So as long as we remain up above 53, then I'm looking for it to start to push on from here. But like I said, it's all about US production and whether that's increasing versus the likeliness of the cuts actually coming to fruition in terms of OPEC versus non-OPEC.
And out of the markets you've highlighted, what would be your particular trade?
I would say sterling. I think that we're going to see some decent downside in the coming months for the pound. So I'm just trying to pair that up across the board with some of the other currencies that we're seeing out there to sort of mitigate the reliance on the dollar, I guess. But you know, if you think that sterling's going to go down and you think that a couple of others should be weak, then you know, maybe spread it across a few of them.
Josh Mahoney, analyst at IG Group, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.